Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. The Reverend Jeffrey Hemmer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The epistle for the Feast of the Martyrdom of St. John the Baptist is from Romans, the 6th chapter. Brothers, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias's daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her, and immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. And he went and beheaded him in prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Herod, this head on a platter that your soldiers are bringing in to your deranged niece makes your sin seem stupid. These closed eyes show you God's just condemnation of your depraved act. This lifeless tongue still silently preaches against you. You must know it. The evangelist records that you were exceedingly sorry, but that sounds like exceedingly spineless, or maybe exceedingly aroused by the dance of your once niece, now stepdaughter. John, you know, was everything you are not. You enjoyed listening to his preaching, but you can't approach the Baptist like that. You can't calmly contemplate what he says. Well, now, of course, that's obvious. But even when his head was still attached to his body, you could not listen to his preaching as if it were some academic proposition for your consideration, taking the wise sayings you found useful and discarding the rest. Repent is all or nothing. There's nothing to contemplate, yes or no, do or die. Sure, he seemed to cross a line when he told you not to have your brother's wife, and that irritated Herodias, So you, ever the doting husband and brother-in-law, were just spineless enough to have this prophet of prophets, the last to hold the divinely ordained office of prophet, the one Jesus called greatest among those born of women, arrested and imprisoned in order to salve your conscience and quiet the brouhaha about your incestuous kingdom. But you get it honestly, I guess. Your family tree doesn't branch very well, despite your father's 10 wives. You had heard all about this preacher in the wilderness. You probably had a great big file on all the complaints you'd heard about him. John's preaching knew no boundaries, no sin that was not in need of being exposed, no sinner who was off limits to his scathing accusations. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers for their refusal to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. He warned the tax collectors about their extortionist practices. He accused the Roman soldiers of similar extortion, of making threats and false accusations. But none of these things landed John in prison, just on your radar. Not until John turned his attention to your household, King Herod, did things get precarious for the camel hair-clad preacher. You could not have known it, but John had no choice. As a prophet of the Word of God and a forerunner of the Christ, John could do nothing except proclaim God's Word and prepare people for the coming of Christ. He was appointed, even before his mostly miraculous conception, for this work. And he began pointing to the one whose way he was preparing before either of them was even born. You had to know it was coming. Through the first prophet Moses, the Lord had prohibited this kind of incest, as well as adultery, divorce, remarriage. If your wanton sexual hedonism and crass, selfish idolatry were eternally prohibited in the holy law of God, denounced in the written law by the first prophet, you must have suspected that this, the last prophet in the line of Moses, would not turn a blind eye to the King of the Jews' very public indiscretions. So when John aimed the accusation of God's word against you for seducing and marrying Herodias, your niece and the wife of your half-brother, you threw him in prison. So no matter how much St. Mark records, you heard John's preaching gladly, but that he left you perplexed, you never really heard the Word of God proclaimed by St. John the Baptist. You treated the preaching of John as you treated the law of Moses, with cold, damnable indifference. And now with his head on a platter before you, silently preaching one last time, you have one last chance to heed his call to repentance. Dear hearer, do not repeat Herod's fatal mistake. Do not treat the Word of God preached, read, or received with the same cold, damnable indifference, the same nonchalance. There is no middle ground, no fence sitting, no chance to sift through what you like in the sermon and discard what you do not. The call to repentance is all or nothing. Faith is everything or nothing. You have it all or you have nothing. You cannot like some of what St. John preached and not the rest. And John was just the forerunner. His first sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," was just a shadow cast by the first sermon of Jesus himself, who also preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." What you do with the prophets, apostles, and preachers is what you do with Jesus' word as well. You cannot sort what you like from what you don't from Jesus' preaching, rejecting the rest. You will receive him as he is or not at all. If you reject him in part, you lose him completely. Herod thought to continue in sin by jailing the preacher of repentance. He thought he could tame the word of God, have his way with the word, rather than allowing the word to have its way with him. He was wrong. Perilously wrong, eternal life threateningly wrong. Do not follow his wanton example. Eventually, someone will have to lose his head, either the preacher or you. For my sake and for your sake, I hope it's you. This was Herod's only option. Murdering the preacher was his last resort. He refused the Holy Spirit's work of repentance. He hardened his heart. He wanted cerebral sermons from John, not the living and active Word of God. In rejecting the Word, he rejected the preacher. And then his only recourse was to lop off his head. Don't follow this path. Don't silence the preacher. Don't reject the Word. There will be more, sure, but this may be the last one the Spirit sends to you. You might not get the chance to decapitate two of us. So again, for your sake, I plead with you, cut off your own head. That is the best possible outcome. Whatever the pet sin is, it separates you from your Creator. Whatever you love more than the Word of God will kill you eternally. Indifference, lies, murder cannot remove your sin. The prophet's head on a platter only magnifies your guilt, entrenches you further into this self-destruction. Every sin, every transgression of God's holy law is a capital offense. Before God, there are no degrees of difference. Anger is murder. Lust is adultery. True words that damage reputations are lies. Desiring what God has not given is the same as taking what is not yours. Thoughts are the same as actions. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. If your head causes you to sin, cut it off. O hearer, be also a doer of the word. But before you head up to the cafeteria for a knife, you need a solution stronger than steel, sharper than swords. Death and decapitation would solve the problem, yes, but they would also yield you up to an eternity of suffering the just rewards for all your sins. You don't just need to lose your head. You need a new head. Though the forerunner's mouth is silent, his finger still points. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John was the forerunner, the way preparer, the go-beforer, and so he did. He preceded his Lord and prepared the way for him in birth, in preaching, in baptism, but not in death. Yes, John died before his Lord, but his death, his martyrdom, his decapitation does not prepare for the death of Jesus, the very Lamb of God. Instead, Jesus is the forerunner, the way preparer, the go-beforer into death. He is the first death and the last. He is the offspring of the woman whose death was promised before any man shed a drop of blood. The lamb shorn of his skin and robbed of his innocent life to cover the transgressions of his creatures. He is the final and full sacrifice, the lamb loaded with the ledger of all the sins of mankind. His death prepares John and Herod and you for death, because his death on the cross removes death's very sting. The cross is the forerunner for your death. That is what God promised from the beginning. This is what John preached from the beginning of his ministry. Repentance isn't self-loathing, self-flagellation, or pointless shame. Repentance is turn from self to the Savior. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, Herods and hearers, this is what you need. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin, the death, the lust, the murder, the lies, the indifference, the selfishness, the stubbornness, the idolatry, the blasphemy, the rebellion. Behold, Herods and hearers, your sin does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb who was slain but who lives, who died and who rose. He is the forerunner into death, whose death destroys death. And he is the forerunner from the grave, whose resurrection guarantees your resurrection. Dear Christian, you have a new head. The head of every man is Christ. He is the head of his body, the church. He has baptized you into his very death and resurrection. There he removed not only your head, but your whole body of sin, and replaced it with a new, sinless, glorified, holy body. The old is gone, the new has come. You are his new creation. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. His head is yours, his holiness is yours, his glory is yours, his goodness is yours. What St. John heard declared of Jesus is your eternal rebirthright. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. You are the Father's beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. Lift up your heads. Your redemption is near. The sacred head of Jesus was wounded for you. He gave not merely his head, but his whole life as payment for you. Nothing vile, nothing unclean remains. Under Christ's pure and perfect headship, you are eternally safe, eternally secure. Should you someday lose your head in martyrdom, in the confession of the authority and the mercy of the one who bowed his head for you, you have nothing to fear. Should you someday sacrifice your salary, your property, your family, for the sake of confessing this Jesus to be the Christ, or for standing up for the truth of the Word of God against kings or tyrants, you will lose nothing. Your salvation is secure, certain. Your resurrected life after the return of Jesus is truer than anything that seems to threaten you. It is truer than Herod's swords, Herodias' hatred, or Salome's allure. The Lamb of God, who has taken away your sins, will return. And you will behold him then. You will see him face to face. He will knit back together bodies and souls, rejoin heads onto bodies, rescue all who believe in him from the decay wrought upon them by sin and suffering and death. You are his, and you will be his. He has rescued you from death. He is your head, which you will never lose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.